As promised, we are joined right now by a 10-year NFL vet, a first-team all-conference player at USC. He was the fifth pick overall back in the 09 draft. He is an analyst for ESPN, ABC, and Showtime. He is the pride of Mission Viejo. He is the man who used to greet the clones when he came on the program. He is Mark Sanchez. Mark, it's been a minute or two. Great to have you back. How are you doing? How is your life right now?
Way too long. Thanks for having me back, Rome. Shout out to the clones. What's going on?
My man, I love that. I love that. It's good to have you back. It's been way too long. So how you living, Mark? How are things?
Oh, things are great. I'm living vicariously through you, man, watching you out on the lake on your Instagram, crushing some Heinekens.
It's a good life, right? Lake life is good, dude.
I'm happy for you. You look happy. You're kicking butt. Everything's great. I mean, some of my fondest memories are me and my dad driving down to our place in Ensenada in our truck listening to the old school Extra Sports 690. And, you know, it was Philly Billy Warndell talking about Tony Gwynn and the Padres, and then Romy hearing you rack them. All that. We loved it, man. We love listening to your show, so this
Dude,
is great.
You are the absolute best, man. I appreciate that so much. Mark Sanchez joining us. Now, Mark, I'm not at all surprised to be saying this, given the conversations you and I had in the past, but you've made the transition into being an analyst look very smooth and not that hard. What's the process been like for you, and how are you enjoying that gig?
Oh, I really am enjoying it. I appreciate you saying that. Somebody with your experience noticing that means a lot. To be totally honest, you know, it was so different than football. And when you get on this side, essentially when you cross over, whether it's TV, radio, podcast, all that kind of stuff, I feel like people kind of expect you to know exactly what's going on. And there's very little communication of what exactly you're expected to do. You know, wearing an IFB, the little thing that goes in your ear, you know, I get to the first day at ESPN. They're like, okay, you know, we'll see you at DC2 at 11 o'clock. And I'm like, all right, what's DC2? Is there like some sort of orientation? Like,
right.
You know, for football, they literally tell you, like, be here at 8:30. Here's the plays you got to know. Here's the footwork you got to know. Here's the film you have to watch. Be ready for that. And this is when we're done and we'll send your ass home kind of thing. And so for TV, they just kind of expect you to know. And they say, hey, it sounds silly, but hey, you have a 30-second answer. You have a 15-second answer here, or, you know, and you're trying to figure out what that means. How much information can I put in that segment? And I got to essentially land the plane at the end of it and give it back to either the host or my colleague that we're having a discussion with. So it's some of it comes natural, but a lot of it you just need reps. And this has been really fun for me. And, you know, I got the best advice from, you know, guys like Kevin Negandhi, listening to people like you, listening to a guy, Herm Edwards. He gave me my favorite piece of advice so far. He just said, listen, at the end of the day, somebody's going to ask you a football question. You just give them a football answer and smile.
That is so good.
Herm, thanks a lot.
That is good. Mark Sanchez joining us. That's a great description. You broke that down perfectly. You're right. Like when you live that structured life, you know exactly where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, what you have to do. And then all of a sudden you're done and they just kind of throw you out there. And it's tougher than
no
it looks.
Doubt.
You're right. Listen, Mark, let me ask you this. Take me back to when you first got to the Jets. As a rookie, you lead them to the AFC Championship game. Then you do it again the next year. You're in your early 20s. You're the face of that franchise. I mean, what a time of life that must have been like. What was that like for you?
Oh, man. It was pretty special. One, we had a great team, great veteran leadership that helped me a lot as a young player. You know, good running game, good defense. Then we got some other players that second year that was, you know, chronicled on Hard Knocks. And it was such a good behind-the-scenes look at the way our team really was and how much fun we had playing for Rex. But some of my favorite times were in the locker room, on the plane ride, you know, playing cards with the guys, just because we became a family. It's transcended sports and football, and that group got really, really close, and really close to getting to the Super Bowl, which was frustrating, but some times that I'll cherish forever. I think, you know, when you win in New York, the world is your oyster, and you really do have the world by the tail. It was an incredible time. But, you know, some of my favorite, one of the speeches from Rex that never made Hard Knocks that was still one of my favorite, he says, all right, let's go get a snack. And we break the meeting. And this is like the first night of training camp. And then he says, oh, wait, I forgot. Everybody back in here. And so we filed back into the meeting room. He goes, I forgot. All right, listen, I'm not promoting fights. I'm not condoning fights. But listen, if a fight breaks out, three rules. One, find the quarterbacks in the red jerseys. Get them the hell out of there. Two, strap up your helmet. If I see anybody take off their helmet in a fight, you're kicked out of practice. And three, no punching people in the helmet, body blows only. All right, that's it. Go get a snack.
Wow. Wow, that is so good. That is so, good.
It was stuff like that that, you know, things that you'll remember forever. And so much fun we had with guys like Mangold and, you know, the Braylon Edwards and Jericho Cotries and all those guys. It was awesome.
Mark Sanchez joining us. You have no idea. That is such gold, what you just did. The fact that you worked in a story without me prompting the story, that is gold, dude. That is gold. Now, you can't do that when they say to you, you have 30 seconds, get in, get out.
Exactly.
But you know, you'll learn about the business, Mark. You understand this probably already, but you just have to know your room. You start dropping that in a podcast, that's absolute gold. Now, when you mentioned the locker room and you mentioned the running backs, for instance, you were talking recently about a locker mate with Thomas Jones. Now, Thomas Jones has always been an amazing source of fascination to me, Mark. I love this guy. And for whatever reason, he and I always had a really good relationship. But that is an intimidating dude. Now, what was that experience like, lockering up with this guy next to you? How much did the two of you talk at that point?
I don't know if he said more than 10 words to me.
Right.
Until we were, you know, midway through the playoffs, maybe into our second game. And, you know, he's just a quiet dude, you know, keeps to himself, works his butt off, expects a lot out of everyone because he's giving that effort, you know, so he's not going to demand anything out of anybody else that he doesn't put out himself. So, he's that kind of guy, but you're right. He's intimidating. I mean, he's just jacked and he looks like a freaking Bowflex commercial. He's tatted up. And just a quiet dude, ready to work, ready to grind. And he'll just knock your head off in practice. So I was like, hey, what's up? He's like, TJ, or what, you know, what do you want to go by kind of thing? And he just kind of looking at me like, man, hurry up. When you do your interviews, hurry up, because these reporters are going to come clowning around your locker room and crowding my space. So hurry up.
That
I was just
great.
Like, all right, yes, sir.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Yeah, just he was one of the best guys on our team and worked so hard. He was the one giving us the pregame speeches the night before the games, and because he'd been to a Super Bowl before, and he was just reminding people what you're working for, what you're sacrificing for during the week, and you know, giving up that little extra time at home with your family to achieve something that maybe you'll never get a chance to do again. And he just had this way of conveying it to the guys that you're ready to just jump out of your skin and play. And it was so inspirational. So I was thankful for him.
Yeah, no, I'm glad to hear that too. And it's kind of hard for me to imagine, because he is so quiet and so intense and so focused, why he was comfortable on the show. But he would come on, and I was always mesmerized by this guy. He had this crazy it and this presence to him. Now, you were on the Gangs All Here podcast recently, and you told this great story about Nick Mangold, somebody just mentioned, from your time with the Jets. The story goes that you guys would be in meetings, and Nick would ask Tim Tebow a question about the Bible or theology, but he would give you the heads up first. Is that the case, and what was your reaction? Like, how did those discussions go?
So, yeah, you got to understand, like, Tim, you know, he's like leader of Bible study. He's the real deal. That's the most important thing to know. Like, it's not some facade. He knows his stuff. He knows his theology. He's convicted. And it's awesome to see. He was a great teammate, worked his butt off. It was just a weird situation for both of us, right? Because, you know, I'm supposed to be the franchise guy, but they bring in this other guy. And I think under any other circumstances, we would have, you know, meshed really well. And because I really did like him, and I think he liked me too. So it would have been great. But in that circumstance, only one guy can play. So it's just a little weird. Well, Nick, being funny like he is and aware and cognizant of the situation, he would just, you know, like to make people uncomfortable and mess around. And so we'd go into these meetings. This was just quarterbacks and centers. And we'd go through protection stuff on Wednesdays and Thursdays, talking about, you know, third downs and whatever, any kind of exotic blitzes we're going to see, just to make sure we're on the same page and identify them correctly for the game. Well, Nick would come in. And he would say, hey, I'm going to ask Tebow some Bible questions. Are you ready? And I'm like, dude, can we get through the third downs, please? First, please, before you go holy war on me and drop just a bomb in here.
Wow.
Because then we're not going to get anything done. And these conversations would go for like an hour, you know? And he would ask, like, hardcore questions. Well, you know, Nick would go look up something online. And be like, well, why did, you know, Isaac get the blessing instead of Ishmael? And blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, he wrestled with the angel, and that's why his name means this, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, my God, you guys, really? Are we doing this right now? Can we just finish 10 more plays, and then you guys can have at it?
That's amazing. Like, was he, did Tebow know? I mean, did he feel disrespected, or was he like, we're having a conversation. This is good.
He did it in a, Nick did it in a playful way. And, you know, Tim knew he was joking, but also knew what he knows, like, right? He knows the information he has and what he believes. And so it's impressive because, I mean, I've seen him speak as a pastor and stuff. He's incredible. You know, like, he's one of those inspirational guys that can, you know, essentially get people to, like, move mountains and stuff. Like, he's that kind of guy. And so very engaging. And he also has the information to back it up, you know. So it was, you know, Nick would just try and get under his skin. And he knew it was getting under my skin because we're trying to get something done. So.
And then he loved it. And that's a good day for Nick.
Oh, dude, he loved it.
He loved it. He knew what he was doing. Mark Sanchez joining us. This is a blast. All right, so, Mark, what about a few weeks back you made the point that the 49ers should pick up Sam Darnold. Like, what's your sense as to how the time has gone for him in New York? And what do you think about a possible fit in San Francisco? Why would that make sense?
Oh, man, I just think that system would be great for him. It's a West Coast-based system. I think just because he's got that fifth-year option that I doubt the team will exercise because they'd have to pay him, you know, upwards of $20-something million. And because of his circumstances, I don't think anybody's going to pay him that right now. So the team wouldn't have to pick up his fifth-year option. He'd probably be on – they'd be on the hook for high threes, maybe low $4 million, and be able to keep Jimmy or, you know, and add Sam or get Sam and add somebody else kind of thing. But I just felt like it would be an opportunity for him to get a fresh start at a place that's going to build around him with, you know, management and stuff that are really going to focus on him. And for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked out there in New York. I think a lot of that is out of his control, but he's shown enough flashes, in my opinion. Obviously, I'm a little biased. He's a USC guy. He's an Orange County guy, so I want him to do well. But I think he's shown enough flashes to build around and to seriously build around. Not, you know, what they're doing right now is ridiculous. Like, he doesn't have a shot, and he's still making plays. So that's why I just think you give this kid a real opportunity, put some players around him with a good organization, and give him a chance to play.
I mean, like, Mark, to that point, Mark Sanchez joins me for a few more moments. How important is it for the success of any young quarterback that it's about being with the right staff, the right team, the right organization, the right scheme, all of those things? How important is that?
It's so pivotal for these young guys to land in the right spot and have the guy either ahead of them and give them a chance to sit. Look at Mahomes. Mahomes turned the ball over a lot in college. I feel like this is one of the best examples, right? Turned the ball over a ton in college. He gets the NFL, he's in Kansas City, and he's behind Alex Smith, who's one of the best at taking care of the football. And all of a sudden, Mahomes has the best, he leads the league in, like, all the important categories right now, touchdown, interception rating, you know, all that right now. But he learned that somewhere, right? And they put him in a system where Andy Reid gave him the basics to this West Coast system. You can see these plays. They're still running, you know, shallow cross. They're still running drive. They're still running Hank. It's all the exact same plays, literally, that Joe Montana and Steve Young ran. So they're spicing them up a little bit with really good athletes in motion and formations, but it's Travis Kelce running the deep middle hook, the same one that Dwight Clark used to run. So it's not like they're reinventing the wheel. They just put them in a great system, and now when things don't work out perfectly with the read and his footwork, they're like, hey, you got a little flexibility. Go make a play with your athleticism, but stay within our system, right? And they've kind of adapted the system to him, and he's adapted to the system, right? It goes both ways. Because you get a lot of these coordinators now that are like, this is the offense. You know, I don't care what kind of players we have, this is our offense. Well, that doesn't really work. You got to work with what you got. Look at what McDaniels has done in New England. Sometimes it's a two tight end system. Now they're working with Cam Newton. Sometimes it's, you know, the shorter, quicker receiver, slot receiver guys, the Wes Welkers, the, you know, Julian Edelman, like, he can adapt to his players. So that's huge. But all that matters for a quarterback when you get in that system. I just think Mahomes is the greatest example.
Dude, you are so on this. You are so dialed in. Listen, Mark, one last thought, because you mentioned Orange County and USC and quarterbacks, and you can relate to this because I know that you know. It was long before the pandemic. I want to say it was maybe a year and a half ago. We're at Javier's in Crystal Cove one night, and I'm with the fam, and Janet says to me, there's somebody behind you. Don't look, don't look, don't look. There's somebody behind you, and I don't know who it is, but it's somebody, because there's just this energy. There's a buzz, and there's somebody here. I'm like, all right, I'm going to look. She's like, no, no, don't look, don't look, don't look. And I'm thinking, who could this be? Who could this be? Dude, it was one of the greatest moments ever in the history of Orange County. He gets up, and I turn around. Dude, Andy Reid. At Javier's.
Oh, I love it.
Andy Reid.
He's got a spot right down here.
Oh, I know it. I know it. But he's kind of private about that, and I've never seen that. And I hit him with Andy, you know, because he's also been such a great Jungle guy over the years. But since he got to Kansas City, we had a little trouble turning the interview around. And I said that to him. He's like, no problem. You call them up, you tell them you saw me, and we'll do this thing. But, dude, what's a better sighting than Andy Reid at Javier's?
So I got another one. I got one for you. This isn't a one-upper story, but it is a Kobe Bryant story, yeah. RIP, because I loved Kobe. But that's where I first met him after my rookie year in New York at Javier's, and he was picking up food to go, and I was waiting to get a table. And he walked over to me, and my buddy kind of tapped me, and he goes, oh, my God, Kobe Bryant's walking over here. And I looked at him, and I was like, what? Oh, my God. And he came over, he goes, yo, man, I saw what you're doing out there in New York. Keep talking that smack, man. I love your coach. Keep playing hard. I was like, oh, my God. Try not to just piss my pants, right? Because I grew up watching Kobe. But Javier's is that place. Like, you see the athletes. You see entertainers. And it's one of my favorite places in the whole world. And I get to go practice my Spanish. But, yeah, I totally see Andy Reid there. Having a ball and everybody loving it.
Dude, I love that story so much. I love that story for two reasons. One, I love your reaction as a high-level elite professional athlete responding to Kobe the same way. And I'm not looking to one-up your one-up, Mark, but I knew Kobe a little bit, and I'm telling you, I'd prep and I'd be in my home office. And it didn't happen a lot, but I'm going to say it happened maybe three or four times over the years. He'd blow me up. He'd be like, yo, bro, meet me at Javier's, and this would be the one guy that, I'm not going to lie to you, Mark, like, I would drop everything. No matter what I was doing, I'm like, I'm gone.
100%.
And I would go. And then he, you know, he'd have like one Jello shot, maybe, like super disciplined. But man, he loved Javier's. And if talking about Javier's, dude, the only better sighting than Andy Reid, not better than Kobe, because Kobe is the best, you're right. But the only thing even close is Javier himself. You ever see Javier at Javier's?
It's the best. I usually see young Javi, but
yeah, right?
It's awesome. It's the best. It's such a great atmosphere. If you haven't been there and you're in SoCal, you got to get there when all this stuff opens up again.
Yeah, dude, you sound amazing. So last thought, you were the baby alien on The Masked Singer, right? How did that come to be, and what was that experience like?
So the casting director is this gal named Dina Katz, who is amazing. And she does Dancing with the Stars, and she also does Masked Singer. And she asked years ago about Dancing with the Stars. And I'm like, you know, I'm not like a real dancer. And, you know, I don't think I'm like a professional singer or anything. Don't get me wrong. But I was like, hey, you know, I love to karaoke. If you guys ever get a karaoke show, I'm in. And this was, you know, 6-7 years ago. And she finally came back and was like, hey, can you do it? Would you want to do the show? So I looked into it. I was like, oh, my God, this is perfect. I'm in. And so they were giving me costume ideas. Well, I didn't know it was going to be this involved. I had to do Zooms with a puppeteering coach for, you know, I probably had 12 hours of Zoom practice.
Wow.
with a puppeteer coach who was on like Crank Yankers and, you know, the Muppets and all that kind of stuff. And essentially getting me to inject personality into this puppet so it comes to life kind of thing. And then on top of that, I was wearing this heavy costume and then singing. And so I'm running around my house with this puppet and a heavy backpack. And the Sonos on, trying to sing, and my 3.5-year-old kid is looking at me like I'm crazy. So then he finally sees on the show that it was me, and it all kind of made sense. So it was an absolute blast learning some new skills and got to meet a lot of people. So I was grateful for the opportunity.
I was going to say, what a blast that must have been. A 10-year NFL vet, a first-team all-conference player out of USC. You can see him on ESPN, ABC, Showtime, the pride of Mission Viejo, and an absolute jungle legend. Mark, man, it is so great to get caught up with you. I don't know why we didn't do that sooner, but you sound great. I'm proud of you, and it's so good to have you back in the jungle, man.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me. Happy Thanksgiving. clones, hang in there. We'll get through this pandemic. We'll get through it, baby. We'll be back
soon. My man, nice job. Best to the fam, Mark. Tell Nick I said what's up. Give the fam the best. And I just can't imagine we haven't done that sooner. Mark Sanchez in all his glory. That's why he's the Sanchez and always will be. Always had great respect for the jungle and the clones. I would say that I love a guy who begins an interview by shouting out to the clones, but it's not a guy. It's like he's the only guy and always does it. Wesley Woodyard will do it too.